Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. Lord, pray you give me strength to carry on.
Good morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I think that you as county commissioners should demand them to put together a competent feasibility study and then put that out to the public so that they can actually have an intelligent vote on this. I'm not saying block it, but let's just have some reality instead of fairy tales.
And then living 8 minutes from the beach, but then taking an hour and a half to actually be able to get to the beach is outrageous. So the fact that we don't have an infrastructure is extremely frustrating. And I think that if you all aren't going to deal with it up front, you need to let us make the decisions so that we can deal with it and allow us to keep our own money internally within our own city rather than just handing money over to the county and allowing you to make the decisions for us.
All right, a couple of the comments from the public about the proposed incorporation of Navarre, 18th verse, same as the first. Seems like as long as I've lived here, there's been 10 years, there's been a back and forth conversation, not quite every year, but maybe every other year, every third year, this seems to resurface as a question. And so you had a woman there who is relatively new to the county but moved here from Southern California, where she saw the effects of failure to plan when it came to a beach town that was a sleepy, quiet little beach town. And then nobody did their job to really protect it, I guess. But also when they did realize that it was going to grow and grow, they really planned for the future. And though it changed dramatically, at least they planned for it.
Up in Southern California. And one of my favorite towns was a sleepy little beach town, and it grew and grew and grew as people found out more about it, which is exactly what is happening with Navarre, especially when it shows up on the top 10 best places in Florida to live. And then you have social media people going out there, and I've heard rumors that you all, someone on the county is paying for their hotels to come and advertise the beaches.
That's actually a really interesting point. You know, of course, yeah, you know, the tourism arms in Santa Rosa County and, of course, in Escambia County do a lot of advertising to bring people down to the beaches, which I know some of the residents who are concerned about, say, too many people moving here, inflating the housing price, or too many people visiting here, you know, jamming up all the traffic and us not planning for it particularly well anywhere, that why would we keep trying to make that problem worse? Well, because also the tourists spend a lot of money here, you know, and there are benefits as well. But I think it's a fair point. She says she's not sure. That definitely is happening. That's for sure happening.
And I'm really frustrated with that because we don't have infrastructure. When I moved here and saw how terrible the infrastructure is, growing up in Southern California, and especially this little sleepy beach town that is now a bustling, I don't know how many millions of people they have, but they built the infrastructure well with the anticipation that it was going to grow. And I know a lot of you don't want it to grow, and I'm with you on that. I don't want it to get bigger, but as a city who governs themselves, we have the right to say we don't want it to grow, but now they're putting in a Chick-fil-A right off the bridge, and it's going to create more traffic off the bridge.
I understand the frustration. I mean, it's the same, similar reason to why Perdido Key wanted to incorporate, and that did not work out yet anyway, because they feel like the county is not doing enough of a job to govern the growth that is dramatically affecting their quality of life. And you know, I think Navarre residents, many of which feel the same way. Of course, the trade-off is they're worried about extra layers of government. They're worried about increased cost. And I think some people are probably worried like it's too late. You know, the cat's so much out of the bag that even incorporating won't be able to fix that stuff. There's a lot of strong sentiment pro and con, which is why it has come back and forth over the last several years. One thing that I thought was interesting is State Representative Joel Rudman, who represents Santa Rosa County, the northern, almost the northern, all of it, except for basically the Gulf Breeze, Midway, and then Navarre Beach and some of Navarre portions belong to Alex Andrade in his district. But he showed up, and this is the reason they had a big conversation yesterday. He showed up and said, look, here's the deal. We're going to do a straw poll so that we find out what people really think. Are there enough people who really believe in this for me to propose it in the legislature? Then in the legislature, it's got to go through at least two committees, probably three, then the full House, then the Senate, then get signed. Then we can have an actual vote on incorporation, the boundaries of which are yet to be fully finalized. The particular feasibility study has, I guess there's been a kind of a poor quality one been done, is the allegation anyway, and they need to do a much better one. But this is at least a year away from an actual vote on making the incorporation. But here's what he says. He added the straw poll. That's not required. And he says, I'm only going to do this one time. So you pick when you want to have this on the ballot. If it's this year, that's fine. If it's next year, that's fine. But we're going to do this one time and not again while I'm in office. Talk about both of those ideas in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But we do have a light that's not working correctly on Davis and Johnson Avenue, causing some major delays at that intersection. Flashing green and yellow on Davis. And cars are going through it, flashing red on Johnson. So thanks for the heads up on that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So again, Dr. Rudman, State Representative Dr. Rudman, shows up at the meeting and he says, look, I'm going to do a straw poll. And then if the straw poll passes, I'll introduce it. And then if it passes, we'll bring it back for an actual vote. But you only get one shot at this.
Now, keep in mind, there is another caveat that y'all need to keep in mind. I have told both groups, both the people for incorporation and those against incorporation, that I will only entertain this argument once during my tenure in the legislature. In other words, gentlemen, they get one shot at this.
At least one time in a tenure. Not necessarily once in a... I couldn't resist. It was so exactly what he was saying. So, yeah, you're going to get your one chance. Okay, here's my take on this, which he says both sides should like. The people who are for incorporation should like that you don't have to keep trying again and again and failing. And the people who don't want it don't feel like they should have to keep defending against it all the time. I actually agree with that. The only part of this I don't agree with is the straw poll. I don't know why you have to have a vote to decide whether to have a vote. You don't need to have democracy in order to find out whether to have democracy. You should just have democracy. If they want to do it this year and they get a feasibility study together, you go to committee, you approve it, you get it through the legislature, then you have an actual vote. Because then you have an actual shape of the vote, the boundary lines for the vote. Does it or does it not include Navarre Beach? That's a real live question. I think a good question. In my own mind, I have no opinion about incorporation one way or the other. I see arguments on both sides. But Navarre Beach is in a weird spot because, you know, geographically isolated from the mainland, and it's its own community, but it can't decide. I mean, it's got 3% of the possible voters, apparently, and it can't decide it one way or the other, but they're going to be subject to it. And it almost seems unfair to drag Navarre Beach into it. It seems maybe better that you would have a vote for the mainland portion of potential Navarre City and then let Navarre Beach vote on being annexed in or not. Because it seems weird. It's like, you know, pulling them in seems to be forcing them. Now the representative of the Navarre Beach leaseholders at the meeting, Gary Burke, or is at least in, I don't know if he's representing, but he said he's with them. He said, we're not sure whether we want to be in it or not. And give us time to figure out if we want to be in it or not. Well, one way to give them time is just to do it without them and then let them decide later to annex in, which they could easily do the next year, right? So just some thoughts about that. It's I think it's probably coming, a vote on this. It seems like it's probably coming, but you got to do the straw poll first, which, again, I don't really agree with. But it would at least give you some indication of where the geography should be, because maybe 60% of the mainland wants in, but only 35% of Navarre Beach wants in, and then you could factor that into your, not including Navarre Beach, because they apparently don't want in. That might be useful from the straw poll. 719 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Is there anything God can't do? The answer is yes. God can't lie, God can't change, and God can't let you into heaven if you haven't been born again. Personally, I was born again in 1988 as a 9-year-old boy. It was then that I realized that I was a sinner and I had broken God's holy and righteous standard. I called upon Jesus to save me from the consequences of my sin. I believed that He was virgin born and lived a sinless life and died in my place and then conquered death by rising from the grave. It was then that I was gloriously born again. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't been saved, today is the day of salvation. I urge you to call upon Christ today before it's eternally too late.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Do you like to fish, go to football games, or camp out?
So do teens in foster care who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support through the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
Fans on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket and lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tonight at 7, It's Still Standing, a tribute to Elton John. Close your eyes and you'll swear you're listening to Elton in person as the amazing Ben Frey looks, sounds, and performs his incredible music catalog. It's Bands on the Beach, tonight at 7.
2017. Congressman Matt Gaetz is building his political career in Washington. But according to a sworn statement, back in Florida, Gaetz is partying with young girls and illegal drugs.
One woman specifically saying that she was paid to have sex with the congressman.
Money, drugs, and sex. With the real Matt Gaetz. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Somebody please get this man a gun.
Good morning, 722 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Yes, good morning. President Biden hosting a NATO summit in Washington, D.C. this week. It's marking the 75th anniversary of the alliance. The U.S. death toll from Hurricane Beryl up to at least 8 today. 7 people confirmed dead yesterday in the Houston area after the storm brought flooding, heavy rain, and high winds to the area. Some people were killed by falling trees. Another died in a house fire that was started by the storm. And 2 grocery stores in Alabama now offering gun owners the opportunity to purchase ammunition from vending machines. The self-service ammunition kiosks owned by American Rounds have been installed at Fresh Value grocery store locations in Tuscaloosa and Pell City.
I think they removed it. Let's see. I was just, because we had done this story last week that they were putting them in. It was kind of a funny story. But one Alabama grocery store has actually removed it after the legality was questioned during a council meeting.
So we're down to one.
Yeah.
Down to one ammunition kiosk.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if the other one is in place or what, but, and they plan more. I mean, all across the country, you know, they're planning.
Yeah. I'm saying put them in everywhere.
Yeah. Get your celery and your, you know, your soda and, or your pop or your Coke, whatever you want to call it. Okay. I don't want to start a fight. you know, a couple of boxes of 9mm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, why do you need to go to the gun store to get your hunting ammunition? Just
pop into the kiosk.
That's right. You know, you need some Pop Tarts and some Pop Pops. You know,
A1 is a 20-ounce bottle of Coke. E5 is 9mm ammo.
Yeah. I mean, look, they can store it next to the Chew and the Smokes. I mean, why not, right? Well, no, it wouldn't store. It's a kiosk. It's self-serve. Okay. David, thanks so much for the update, which, by the way, in case you didn't catch the original story, it's they face scan you. Like, you give them an ID, and they face scan you and to prove that it's, you know, the proper person doing the buying, which I'm sure some people will view as far more invasive of, you know, who you are. Where does that information go to, and how is it stored compared to just buying it at a gun store? But anyway, you know, whatever. 7:25 on News Radio Pensacola. Just living the dream over here, watching the stuff that happens around the world. It's a fascinating time to be alive, let's put it that way. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but we're still dealing with a light that's completely out at Davis and Johnson Avenue. At that intersection, all the lanes are causing major delays, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. You know, a couple of weeks ago, one of the salespeople here said came to me and said, Andrew, what do you think about PSC, Pensacola State College? And I'm like, I love them. She's like, well, can you talk about them in an ad on the radio? I'm like, can I? Absolutely. Now, if she had come to me like, you know, 5 years ago, I would have been able to say that, you know, good things. Okay, I knew good things. But in the intervening couple of years, we've had two different of our kids, the oldest in the middle, have gone through PSC as dual-enrolled high school students. So they've each spent 3 years doing high school, you know, sophomore, junior, and senior year high school, and also dual-enrolled, which in the amount of schooling you do in that way winds up converting to a year and a half worth of university credit. And they're both at university now. And we love dual enrollment. And we love PSC. I mean, great teachers who are teachers. You know, one of the things about they used to call it junior college and then community college and now state college. But, you know, the basic idea is you have teachers who are there to teach, as opposed to like at research university or research institutions. A lot of times they're there to research and they also teach, you know. And so at PSC, you know, you get teachers who are teachers and they work with you. They're accommodating. They want to see the students learn. In fact, the variety of course sections and times and dates was one of the other things we thought was really great because it worked around our schedule. And especially if you're like a returning learner, you know, later in life or something, getting a schedule that fits around your very busy, most likely schedule is a big deal. So anyway, PSC is a huge resource for traditional, non-traditional students. We love it. Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East campuses. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at PensacolaState.edu. 7:26 here on News Radio Pensacola. What was the thing I was going to tell you about? This is actually kind of interesting. So we've talked many times about the abortion issue, okay, and how it relates to politics. And Donald Trump, who is not an ideological person in general, I mean, there's very little he's genuinely ideological about other than, you know, America should be great, America should be first, you know, and that's kind of his thing, right? And so derivative of that is things like build up the military, make people pay their fair share of NATO, protect the border. Okay, you know all of this. But when it comes to social issues, cultural issues, you know, on sex stuff, you know, what's right, what's wrong, that is not his bag, baby. He's just not, right? That's because he's just not a traditional religionist or moralist in any of those senses. Same thing when it comes to abortion. Yes, he had more effect on the issue of abortion than any president perhaps ever through his appointments to the Supreme Court and them then overturning Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs decision. But even at that, for him, abortion is always just, it's a political issue, right? And the idea of returning the power to make these decisions to the states, or as Marco Rubio emphasized Sunday, you know, to the people, okay? The reason this all matters is because now the Republican platform has changed. For the first time in decades, it's not going to contain desiring a nationwide prohibition. It's not going to have the strong previous pro-life sentiment because the platform is going to fit the candidate. And the candidate is not a strong pro-lifer in that sense. So the policy, it stays with the longstanding principle that the Constitution includes a right of fetuses to a right to life. That's part of the reason why we think there might be some constitutional implication for whether a fetus gets any protection. You know, right to life, liberty, and property should not be deprived without due process of law. If you include a fetus as having life, you see where that applies. But it removes the language that maintains support for, quote, an amendment to the Constitution and legislation make clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to children before birth, meaning the longstanding plan of the Republican Party was to put a constitutional amendment in or legislation in saying that the 14th Amendment protects the fetus in the womb. That's no longer in the platform. That was introduced in 1984. So, interesting shift. meaning a shift away from what had been a historic position, because the president's own view on this, not because he has a strong view, but because it's the political view he's taken, is the state should be deciding. Okay, the state should be deciding. So also in an election year where abortion has been for at least a year now thought to be the one of the major weaknesses of the Republican position in general, if not particularly of this president, you know, they thought they could blame Dobbs on him or blame it on the Republicans. And, you know, they're certainly still going to try. But this is an effort to defang that criticism and make the Republican Party seem a little less staunch, a little less, you know, traditional conservative, socially conservative on that issue. Whether that'll play much to the average voter, whether it's going to make much difference for the political conversation, of course, remains to be seen. But it is a fairly significant shift in something that had been part of the party platform for, you know, 40 years. That's not a small thing. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next. We'll have Sheriff Simmons after that on News Radio Pensacola. Thanks so much for listening. Stick around.
News. I'm CJ Pappas. Senate Democrats meet today for the first time since President Biden's debate debacle. Many lawmakers are questioning his health and should he remain in the race. Fox's Jillian Turner at the White House with more in a report from Politico.
They say dozens more lawmakers, even some who say they are with Biden, are harboring serious doubts now about their nominee in private, according to interviews with more than 30 folks on Capitol Hill. There is widespread anxiety over which route would be worse, sticking with Biden instead trying to toss him out.
The president hosts NATO leaders today for the start of the big summit. Beryl now slamming Arkansas, but not for leaving people without power in southeast Texas.
2 million people without power, and the heat is going to be really oppressive today for parts of Texas.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It's 82 degrees, beautiful morning, partly cloudy skies. State Representative Joel Rudman says the best way to determine whether the effort to incorporate Navarre should proceed is through a non-binding referendum that would be put on the ballot in November. He says only the Santa Rosa County Commissioners can make that happen.
We don't want a government that dictates down to its citizens. We believe in a government for the people, by the people. And I just simply can't think of anything more American than asking the citizens of Navarre directly for their input on how they wish to be governed.
And Rudman says for as long as he's been an elected or as long as he will be an elected representative, he's willing to entertain that idea once and only once. And should the referendum pass, it would be the first step in a process that would also involve multiple House committees and the full House and Senate before a final binding referendum vote. A celebration of life service held yesterday for Sergeant Jason Rickman, a 26-year veteran of the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office.
He wasn't scared of anything. He was not scared of any man. And if you called for help, he would be there for you. And that's what every cop strives for reputation-wise. And he was just above and beyond.
Sheriff Bob Johnson there. He says he was a sergeant when Rickman joined the force. On Facebook, the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office called him much more than a patrol sergeant on the roads of Jay. They said, quote, he was a friend to all, an avid fisherman, and loved all of God's creatures, large and small. Well, FDOT says a portion of Scenic Highway will be closed starting this weekend. It's part of a $4.8 million project. Crews will be closing Scenic just north of Manilet for 18 days. Drivers will be detoured using Langley Avenue, Spanish Trail, and Summit Boulevard. It's part of a project that'll be milling and resurfacing Scenic south of I-10 to just south of Hyde Park Road. The Florida Financial Impact Estimating Conference now weighing the economic effects of a proposed abortion ballot amendment. If Amendment 4 passes in November, abortions would no longer be limited to 6 weeks into a pregnancy.
Even if the conference ultimately determines that it cannot exactly estimate future costs and expenses, it can and should make known to voters the types and causes of likely negative fiscal impacts that Amendment 4 would cause.
It was suggested that if the 6-week abortion ban stays in effect, there would be a probable cost savings for the state due to fewer abortions. Senator Rick Scott and other Republicans calling on the EPA to rescind its electric vehicle mandate. Senator Scott announcing yesterday that he and over 150 of his colleagues sent a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency. That letter asking the agency to overturn its de facto electric mandate published a few months back on trucks, tractors, buses, and semis. The lawmakers say that rule would disrupt the heavy truck industry and could cost almost $1 trillion. They say farmers and the agricultural industry would be especially hurt by the new mandate. It is 7:35 right now. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John, what are you seeing?
It's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling southbound and northbound from Maxwell Street all the way down to Avery Street, we're seeing some delays there. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see some scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a 70% chance of rain, especially later in the afternoon. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Rain chances staying high as we go through Wednesday morning, 60% chance of rain. High on Wednesday afternoon near 92 degrees. Lows Wednesday night near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 82 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio, Pensacola.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Oil and gas companies in Texas are restarting operations today after Hurricane Beryl hit the state with 80-mile-an-hour winds that knocked out power to more than 2 million people. The storm's impact on production is expected to be minor after some facilities preventively reduced processing Monday. The state's largest provider, CenterPoint Energy, says it's aiming to restore power to 1 million customers by Wednesday. User growth at X, formerly known as Twitter, has reportedly slowed to a crawl since Elon Musk bought the site 2 years ago. The Financial Times reports X has increased its daily user base by less than 2% this year, compared to roughly 30% in 2020. Also, new data shows Meta's competitor Threads is seeing about twice as many downloads per day as X. On Wall Street, futures are slightly higher. Traders will get comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell on Capitol Hill this afternoon. That's Your Money Now.
The doctor's office that mixed up your files has your Social Security number. The power company that mistakenly cut your service has your payment info and last three addresses. Your info is in endless places that could accidentally expose your info to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
On September 11th, 2001, an operations officer placed a call asking if a crew could be ready to fly. U.S. Naval Aviator Aaron Dimmock answered that call. Working largely in silence, Dimmock defended America. Now he's ready to answer the call yet again. Pro-Trump conservative Aaron Dimmock for Congress. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, 7:40 on the nose. I never get to say that. It's always just a little bit one way or the other. I don't know why it's exciting to me. I'm silly. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us here in studio, we have Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
Fair to say I get excited about weird things, though, right?
Yeah, well, you're looking at the clock and you're like, yes, it's right on the nose. The things that people don't see.
Look, my odometer says 54, 45, 54. Yay. I am that nerd, though, that's for sure. Okay, I got to ask you this question because it has been asked by a couple different people and one person very persistently. Since we talked about the shoot house and the firearms training facility that you operate, and you know we did a lot of talk about that, can private citizens use that? Is there any provision? I know you talked about opening up more firearms training for civilians and preparing them to, you don't have to get a license anymore for CCP, but still good to get training, and you can still get a license. Any degree to which the facility is open to the public, or is it just under those circumstances?
Yeah, no, it's not open to the public. You have to understand, we, not just the Escambia County Sheriff's Office uses that for firearms training, but also Corrections uses it, FBI uses it, Pensacola Police Department uses it, all these other agencies are using it. And then we have our own law enforcement academies, and George Stone uses it for their academies. So yeah, it is so booked up. That's why even when you and I were talking about you getting out there to take a look at it, I had to make sure it was a certain time. And there were still people out there.
There was a class. Yeah, they were using the range, right.
Yeah, and so every day of the week, literally every day of the week, it's being used, including weekends. So it's not something that we have the capacity to allow people to use.
But you are looking at doing some citizen training courses on firearms, and I guess it wouldn't include a shooting component. It would just be classroom stuff?
No, it could. Okay. It could. And we have to do that on the weekends as well. And
okay.
We've had one of those, and we'll look to have another one. That's grant-funded. The state of Florida provided grant money when they changed the law on carrying concealed. And we used that money to buy certain things. You know, for you've seen some of the things that we have out there.
Yeah.
Some training dummy guns and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Make sure that it's safe. But unfortunately, it's not open to the public.
Got it. A couple of incidents, unfortunately. I think the one that caught, the most attention was this. Three people in a car trying to buy marijuana from a dude or some kind of drug from a dude. They try to rob him with their guns. He pulls his gun or gets a gun away from them or something. And what's going on here? What happened here?
Yeah, all that happened. we talk a lot about risky behavior. And if you're not involved in risky behavior, the chances of you being the victim of a violent crime is really, really low. This case is just what we're talking about. Three people decide that they're going to go and buy some marijuana from a guy, meet this guy. One guy in the back, one of the buyers, the would-be buyer, pulls out a gun and tries to rob him. And there's a tussle or a fight over the gun itself. The seller, the person that didn't bring the gun, he ends up with the gun on the ground. And then the guy, the investigation.
Sure.
The guy comes at him and he fires at him and shoots and kills him. So there is this felony murder aspect of things that we talk about. So,
and the other two fled, right?
The other two were in the car. They took off.
Okay.
They had seen enough, and they took off. So we got a hold of everybody. We seized the car. We got all the information that we need to make the assertion.
Whose car was it?
It was they borrowed a car from someone.
Okay. But they brought the car to the drug dealer.
Right. That's correct. And then they stayed in the front seat. The driver was still in the driver's seat. And when all this stuff's taking place, when the fight's going on, shots are fired, they take off. So they leave their partner there dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who was selling drugs, he survived, and we talked to him, obviously. And the bottom line is they're trying to rob someone of some drugs. a fight over the gun ends up one of the persons that's trying to rob him gets killed, and so we charge the other two, the people that were that sped away with the felony murder. Again, during the commission of a felony, someone ends up getting killed, you can be charged in Florida with felony murder. And we've used this a couple of different times. And I believe this is the one where, an interesting fact here, was the person that we arrested for felony murder was also charged on probation for felony murder from a previous incident. And had been out on probation, right? That's correct. So this is not the first time that they tried to rob someone and ended up getting, or he himself tried to rob someone.
And someone died in the process.
Ended up dying, yeah.
So the where we stand right now is so no charge for the alleged drug dealer because he was self defense.
Well, we're
at the moment
the marijuana charges,
but the drug charge maybe, right? Yeah, but no charge on the homicide because it'd be self defense. Charges for the two accomplices for felony murder because a homicide was committed in the process of committing a felony, which means they catch a murder charge as felony murder. And they're in custody?
They're in custody. They were. I'm just hoping that they're still in custody, yes.
Okay, and the drug charge on the seller is pending. Okay, which is kind of what I expected, but I wanted to make sure that's where we are at the charges stage. Okay, we're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling from Pace to Pensacola, you're going to see some delays through that construction zone, so be careful there. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Simmons. We also had somebody shot and killed Saturday morning on Beggs Lane, but this turns out, I think, to be a fairly standard incident. Is that right?
It looks to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound, yeah.
Okay. Which is, I mean, people don't realize that that's a lot. I mean, we don't report. This is longstanding practice in the media. We don't really report on suicide attempts or suicides. But, and I remember I was in my neighborhood one time, and I just was coming home, and I saw a bunch of your deputies at home. And I, you know, I'm partially resident, partially news guy, and I went to find out what was going on. And they're like, you know, it was this. I'm like, oh, well, okay, I'm done here. You know, because that affects people, and that's common, right? Having to find that.
It is all too common. There are a lot of suicides in throughout the country, obviously, mm-hmm. but certainly Escambia County, we respond to a lot of suicides. Unfortunately, we have some murder suicides.
Right.
A couple months ago, we had an elderly couple. I think a male ended up shooting his wife, and then he took his own life as well. So, yeah, we work a lot of self-inflicted gunshot wounds, suicides.
And, of course, you also generally have to, you bring in the medical examiner to make sure that it's not just apparently a suicide, because that can be the case, too. And they have to make sure that, you know, what looks like might not be the case, but, you know, most of the time it just is.
Well, we are aware that you know, sometimes you might be able to try to make something look as if it's it's a suicide. But we have to make sure the evidence that we see and the statements that we get match the story that we're trying to figure out.
There's another shooting took place on Friday night in Escambia County, and you're looking for a Richard Burt in connection with this 23-year-old woman was shot. Is that right?
Well, yeah. The we actually picked up Richard Burt. So he's in the jail.
He is.
We want to talk to him. He was a person of interest because we believe that he – look, we put person of interest, and I'll just tell you, we believe he was at the scene at the time of the incident.
Okay.
The investigation is continuing. We're wanting to make sure, like we always do, we talk to everyone that's either there, that has information. Maybe they get information after the fact. We want to make sure that we get all the information and then put that together, because some of the information we're getting is that he was involved, and then information we get was that there was some sort of a – maybe not Russian roulette, but you know, some kind of games being played with weapons. We're looking at it as if it you know, obviously all death investigations, certainly gun related ones, we look first of all, is this a homicide? And then if it doesn't seem like a homicide, what is it? Is it a is it self defense? Uh-huh. Is it culpable negligence? Or is it just an accidental discharge? Sometimes people play with firearms that think they're unloaded, and then they do some crazy things with the firearms. So we're looking at all these avenues and trying to piece together exactly what took place.
So this one looks like it might have been in the playing around with category, and whether they knew or didn't know or believed or didn't believe that the gun was actually capable of shooting, that maybe it was something like you said, a Russian roulette or something, where they're engaging in really dangerous gunplay that they may or may not realize is dangerous.
Yeah, and even though it looks as if it might be an accidental shooting that ended up injuring this young lady, we're not complete yet. We're not ruling out homicide, and that's why we wanted to talk to Richard Burt and kind of get his stance on it. Mm. But as I understand, there were more than just those two there. So obviously, the statements of the other parties, the third parties or fourth parties that were there, is going to be very important, and also an assessment of the scene itself. And again, all these things must be consistent, and then we will make that final determination.
I mean, I know you'll agree with me on this. Like, we teach our kids gun safety when it's toy guns.
Right.
Because I want, you know, don't point a gun at a person unless you're prepared to shoot a person. Like, period. End of story. You know, don't wave the gun around. Don't point the gun around. Don't point it near me, at me. It's like a core principle of gun safety. And, you know, I get not everybody's going to get that, but it's, you know, every gun is a potentially loaded gun until you're absolutely sure it's not. And even then, it feels weird,
to point a gun at somebody. It makes you feel strange to see someone pointing a gun at someone else.
In play or anything else,
even a toy gun. It's like, you know, and I got grandkids, and I'm always looking at them thinking, do not do that. Don't point that gun at anyone. And I know, you know, some look at me, are you crazy? It's a toy gun. Yeah, but what happens when they get a real gun next time and you know, by accident or something? I want that firearm safety to be, that discipline to be ingrained in them, just like it was for me throughout, because we don't want anything, you know.
You want strong taboos around that, because that's how you get good behavior. You get safe, disciplined behavior. That's it. Finger off the trigger, even on a toy gun, you know, just out of safety. Right. A couple of maybe a little bit unusual questions, but I wanted to ask you. One that came in from a texter says, you've seen some of these like catch a predator social media people they'll do what you do or what agencies do to set up a trap, you know, for somebody and then, you know, get them arrested or beat them up or whatever they do. Is that legal? Is that illegal? The person wants to know, what if I start a local sting operation on my own? View?
Well, I mean, if you're looking to solicit something, you can get yourself in a bind that way, because we are monitoring what's going on social media. We are part of ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children. So we have this these people that every day what they're doing is they're monitoring and looking for people that might be engaged in this sort of behavior. So if you're trying to lure somebody, then you can't do that. And then you have to explain to the law enforcement officers why that you're just trying to do good. You know, we used to have people do that all the time when we would do, like, prostitution stings. We'd stop a car, and the guy would say, oh, no, I'm just trying to preach to them, and I'm just trying to do – and they have some explaining to do. You know, is my point. And I don't think that that's a great idea. I think if they have information, if they see something, let us know, because we have an operation where we can go ahead and do that. And certainly to your point where they meet him and beat him up, I would not suggest any of that. We have an operation, and once we get someone that we need to have an arrest warrant for, if we have information enough to where we can stop and arrest an individual, I think that it's we do it in a professional manner.
Always hiring. And people pretend to be cops, they can actually be cops. You know, that's always a possibility.
Well, and honestly, everyone thinks you're an investigator. Everyone thinks that they could do that.
You've seen CSI? Times, how hard can it be?
You know, and it's not that difficult. I mean, I've done it. It just takes years and years of training and intuition and working together and knowing the laws, because we have so many rules that we have to follow abide by, and for good reason. I'm not complaining about the laws. The judicial system is what makes us the country that we have.
The cameras on the beach, they're up and running? Three?
If you remember, we asked Island Authority to, hey, let's get some more cameras and integrate them into our real-time crime center. In the meantime, I wanted to buy other cameras so we can put at big events. So we have, what you'll notice if you're out there, we have a small trailer with a telescoping camera, and there are three of those, plus we have our surveillance van out there. So there's cameras around our precinct. So we do have a number of different cameras at Pensacola Beach, because it's a big weekend and last weekend and this upcoming weekend. So if people were looking at them, asking about them, they are live, and they're feeding straight into our real-time crime center. So don't act a fool.
Or if you are a fool, don't act up to your ability.
Yeah, well, you know.
Or down.
Moderate your
they're not all
behavior.
Acting, by the way.
So there's one in the boardwalk. There's one in Casino Beach. You'll see them. We're not trying to hide them. We want people to know that there is surveillance. And in my mind, if I know that, I'm like, you know what? I feel a little better about it because there's cameras around here.
When I'm parking my car or whatever and I'm in a parking lot, I feel better when there's a camera. I feel like that's a minor deterrence, and it's certainly a catch after the, I appreciate that. Hey, last thing, it's a story that comes out of Birmingham. There's a neighborhood in Birmingham that's had a lot of crime, drive-bys, shootings, mm-hmm. prostitution, drug dealing, you name it, okay? And in conjunction with their residents, their mayor and police chief are putting in barricades or closing off streets. They're either closing down to allow limited street access, or they're closing off completely to make them like pedestrian only kind of areas. I'm not sure on the details here, but you know, we got a couple of areas in town. I particularly think of, you know, Harris Boulevard and Diego Circle most recently have been in the news a lot for this stuff. Is that something that you guys have ever thought about, looked into the possibility of, I assume it would take county commission and resident buy-in, but is that an approach that you guys have discussed?
Oh, well, I haven't discussed that. I can see where a neighborhood would say, hey, enough is enough, and mm-hmm. we want to do something different. That, again, that would be something for the Board of County Commissioners, and is a state road, is a county road, and what they can do. And sure. You mentioned buy-in. I know that it requires buy-in for, like, even speed bumps.
Right.
You know? And I'll be honest, it's difficult sometimes to get speed bumps. So to close off a roadway, I think is going to take a large effort. I have been talking, as I mentioned before, to Commissioner May about getting more cameras all up and down mm-hmm. Harris and Diego Circle, and so that Massachusetts that it'll be a deterrent. So I am not turning my back on anything that the neighborhood might want to do for helping their particular individual, their safety, their own community. I know there are some that have gates and guards and that sort of thing. I'm not sure if everyone can afford that. My neighborhood's not gated or guarded. But I do think that there are some things that that we can do, and I'm willing to look at anything. But that would not be – it's not something
not the first
say,
choice.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to shut this road down or that road down. This is a riot situation.
I absolutely. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're at the intersection of Johnson and Davis Highway, we're seeing some delays in all directions on that. Hopefully they've got that light fixed, but we did have a flashing light earlier there. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Dales Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dales Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dales Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola.
So the big news yesterday was that, such as it is that Target stores no longer let you write checks. Were you, though? David Wayne, were you writing checks at Target?
I was not.
Yeah.
Not in several years.
I just... Oh, the inconvenience, or the, oh, thank God, I don't have to wait again for people writing a check in front of me.